Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, by my count, it is week 17 for this report, since it's been changed from stage right to no stage left. While we are no closer to moving back inside actual theaters, except for a few places, including in your area, perhaps, we can continue to watch some very good actors reading very moving words. My calendar has obviously changed, but it's pretty damn full. For example, I saw two of our finest award-winning actresses this past week do live readings of older plays. Oscar winner Julianne Moore participated in Good as New, a two-character piece, at least it was in this 25-minute scene streamed by the MCC Theater. The Peter Hedges play was full-length and three characters when it was done by that company in the 90s. In this excerpt, we see and envision Moore and Caitlin Deaver as mother and daughter in a car being driven by Deaver. They are in the middle of a heated argument. It takes a few minutes before we understand what the issue is and what the title signifies, that being cosmetic surgery. The daughter is angry that her formerly feminist mother, who used to read to her from Ms. Magazine, has resorted to face work. "Every time I look at you, I will think liar," she says. "You don't know what it's like to disappear," responds Moore's character. This may sound kind of trivial, but with words like erasure and preservation, well, it has pathos and strength. And for many women, a lot of guilt-inducing resonance. Just as interesting is the half-hour discussion with the actors and the playwright after. Now, the other much larger performance that I streamed was that of Emmy winner Edie Falco in a reunion reading of the cast of The True, written by Char White. This was performed by the New Group Theater Company in 2018 and focuses on an actual 1977 mayoral race in Albany. It involves a menage a trois of sorts, but mostly it asks a lot of questions about how difficult it is or was for a woman to play the tough manipulator, the power broker behind the political scene. "You think I'm underhanded?" she asks. "I think you're overhanded," comes the response. Falco and Michael McKean as the mayor fighting for political survival are terrific. Her character is in fact based on Kirsten Gillibrand's grandmother, but that's another story. The play is not perfect. The domestic and the political don't always mesh, but it's one of those that might actually benefit from a close-up viewing like this. I would suggest trying the YouTube channels for both those companies' readings, but I'm glad I drew your attention to them last week. Now, the other one I watched was the Eden Company's Living Room Plays, three short original pieces very much reflecting our dual crises of the moment. The first is titled 243 Days in Isolation. The second and most entertaining is comprised of a black history professor giving a PowerPoint presentation. "Any of you ever hear of James Baldwin?" she asks. "You got to take this class to graduate, remember?" There's humor, smarts, and anger all intermingling here. Are we the land of the brave or the slaves or the graves? You can find the Living Room Plays on the Eden Theater Company's site. Now, another one I mentioned last week here was The Copper Children, presented by the Ashland, Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Well, it has done so well, apparently, that it's been extended a few more days. So there is still time to catch this harrowing true life tale. Also, Richard II, Public Theater's four-night star-studded Shakespeare on the Air, as it's now called, is officially a podcast. So get that wherever you get yours. If you are a fan of Peter Schaeffer's Amadeus, you have three more days to stream the National Theater's version on NTL Live. Now, as for new offerings this week, the entertainment begins tonight with the Red Bull Company's Short New Plays Festival at 7:30 Eastern Time. These 10-minute pieces are always popular and include some notable playwrights tonight, including Teresa Rebeck and Jeremy O. Harris. I'm sure the company's site will keep this up in some form, but I'm planning to tune in. Red Bull's conversations with actors also continue. Last week, I watched two-time Tony winner Steven Spinella recite and break down Shakespeare's iconic "All the World is a Stage" passage. "It feels different for me now," Spinella said, "than when I did it here in 2012. Well, find out why in this interesting conversation available on Red Bull's site. Speaking of "All the World's Stages," I even watched a discussion with Irish author Joseph O'Connor, whose new book is called Shadow Play, fiction based on real-life characters in Victorian London, including Bram Stoker of Dracula fame, one Henry Irving, considered the greatest Shakespeare actor ever, and a seemingly captivating actress named Ellen Terry. That one goes next on my reading list. What else? Well, thanks to Lin-Manuel Miranda's continued generosity, we can now stream We Are Freestyle Love Supreme on Hulu. It's a documentary about how that wildly popular and inventive improv show was created and performed. Live with the Atlantic continues on Friday afternoons, and this week the discussion is with two very fine actors, Peter Maloney and Mary Beth Pell. Next weekend, the appropriately titled In These Uncertain Times will be digitally performed through an entity called Source Material. On Friday, I will be happily making a contribution to the Berkshire Theatre Group to watch the Naughton family in performance. Now, that would be James, his son David, and David's wife, who happens to be named Kelly O'Hara. That's at 8 p.m., your time, your area. In my opinion, though, the best bet of the week may be from the Cape Cod Theater Project, a piece called I, My Ruination, about a supposed battle between director Elia Kazan and playwright Arthur Miller. Listen to this cast: Nina Arianda, Paul Giamatti, Ariane Moyad, and Corey Stoll. That's Thursday and Saturday at 7 p.m. East Coast time. Even though I am currently in Los Angeles, I will virtually be in Cape Cod for that one. And my shameless promotion of the week is a piece I wrote called Dear Auntie D. It'll be performed live on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, by the Skylight Theater Company based here in Los Angeles. It will be on Skylight's site and YouTube thereafter. This one is based on my actual emails with my 95-year-old aunt. There is some optimism arising in the theater world. The Off-Broadway Playwrights Horizons has announced its 2021 season, albeit a bit shortened. So too the Arena Theater in Washington. In the meantime, plenty to keep those missing the real theater busy, Jill, as we head into week 18.
And, you know, I'm wondering if when everyone is back in business, still some time away, but when we're back in the live business, because there has been, the screens are wonderful in a pinch, but the whole live essence is obviously missing, even though it's taped live, if you know. Right. But, you know, screens had been playing such a part in the staging of various shows. And there was a show recently, now I can't remember, but it was pretty much, one of the comments about it was that it was just, there was just so much screen. It was all screen. Do you remember what?
West Side Story.
Right, exactly.
The West Side Story, and even Network was heavily. Now, that one made a little sense because it was about television. West Side Story is the one that got the most attention on that. I'll be curious if West Side Story comes back, by the way. That hasn't been on any list of, yes, coming back in the spring, no, we're not coming back. You know, it's in that middle group, which many plays are, most of the plays are. But I am curious about West Side Story because it wasn't selling that well once it opened. But anyway, yeah.
And
no,
when is the movie out?
Some advantage to these screens at home, but are we going to get hooked on that? I don't know.
So the first bit was, I will be interested to see if they're as prevalent when we get back to live theater, or whether they take a hiatus, basically, because people are just craving the just the natural, so to speak, and this is in quotes, the natural rhythm of regular watching something not via a screen. If you were watching dance on screen, or you are watching it actual, it's just a slightly different timing.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point. I think we'll all be so sick of screens by that time that if we get ourselves in theaters, we're not going to want to look at any screens up there. You know, it's interesting. I was with my family out here yesterday, little kids, you know, nieces and nephews, little ones, and they've all watched Hamilton 5 times, you know, since it went on Disney Plus. They know every lyric, et cetera. But I asked them, and they're young. I mean, they're like the ages of, I don't know, from 7 to 11, I guess. And I said, and a few of them had actually seen it on the stage. And I said, do you like looking at close-ups on the television? And they said, yeah, we got to see things we never got to see. You know, if you weren't sitting in the front couple rows, you didn't really get to see the close-up looks, expressions of the actors. And even they appreciated that right now. But does that mean that they're not going to go see something live? No, of course not.
No, and then the biggest thing in life, if you're doing that, is if you can get really good seats. Because the day that you get up close is the day that the magic, you know, it's just that's where the magic really affects you. When you see, you know, it's one thing to be there and hear it and osmose it from the crowd. It's when you get up front and you actually see it as well. That's something completely different.
I agree. So anyway, the future is, we don't know how far away, but it's on the way.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.